Second Timothy. When they were showing these women pastors, I thought it was real interesting. Rick asked me to come over when I went over there with Dave. Rick asked us to come and teach in their Bible school. And I didn't know this, but a week before I got there, that there was a big, huge breakout fighting in the school because the men didn't like the fact that the women could be a part of ministry. They felt that the women, see, what we don't realize over there in Russia, see, a lot of them are dominated by old German theology. And so men don't like the fact that women are as much a part of the ministry as men is. And so Rick began to teach along that lines, and he opened up to 1 Corinthians 11 about the head covering. So there's a big, huge fight, and everybody's yelling at each other. One lady caused the whole mess, you know. So Rick asked me to go ahead and teach in the Bible school, and so I thought I'd teach and introduce them on authority. And that it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, authority is authority. So I had them open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I seen Dave and Rick in the back of the room, and when I opened it up, I seen Rick talking to Dave, and they both just hung their head. And so I began my thesis there in the school, and needless to say, this lady that created the problem before jumped up and said, "Hallelujah! He's of God!" And I seen all these men look at her, and then they forced her down, and I said, "I wonder what that was all about." And so the more I taught, the more colder things become. So finally, I just decided to end this puppy real quick-like, and so I did. And when we got in the side room, I said, "Rick," and Rick's gone. Oh. How Rick always does. He's so funny. And I said, "What's wrong, Rick?" And he says, "If you would have taught anything, it would not have been that." I said, "So what are you telling me, Rick? I didn't follow the Spirit?" He says, "Oh, you might have been following the Spirit, but the Spirit wasn't ready for them." I had an issue that came up. 2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, clear up to about verse 6, Timothy is receiving instructions from Paul about what believers would be like in the last of the last days. And, of course, we don't have time to go over all of what he mentions here, but it paints a pretty bleak picture. And then in verse 7 here, he says that they're always learning and never able to come to revelation knowledge. It says here, to the knowledge of the truth, but actually it's revelation knowledge. And believe it or not, today we're seeing a lot of believers not able to come to that place of a higher understanding in God. And now, why am I bringing this up? Well, if you will, let's look down a few more verses. Let's look down at verse 13. "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The sad part about it, if you are in textual understanding, the evil men and the deceivers are believers. This is one time evil men are mentioned as being in the church with deceivers. That's horrible. Now, why was Timothy given this instruction? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are pastoral epistles, or pastoral in nature. The first time, he encouraged Timothy to be attentive to the call that was placed on his life. And this is how you set a church up. 2 Timothy, this is down the road a piece, and Timothy's all of a sudden having problems with what he thought was the right way of doing things. And Paul says, look, Timothy, suck it up. He says, if you think you got problems in your church today, he says, number one, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Remember when I laid hands on you, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He says, you better start stirring that up in you. So evidently, Timothy had got out of prayer, got away from the Holy Spirit. So Timothy gets fired up again. And then Paul tells him what it's going to be like in the last of the last days. And when I first understood this, I said, thanks a lot, God. I would have much rather had Timothy here and me there. But anyway, he talks about these people always learning something but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he says these people get worse and worse and worse and worse. Till finally, he gets to chapter 4 here, and 1 through 4, he says some very potent things. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Hallelujah. Well, we also know over there in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about in the latter times, God gives gifts to men, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, so that you would come to a place of maturity to do the work of the ministry. Are you following me? That you would not be in a dice game that is loaded against you and you cannot win. And he said, the purpose of these people is to lead you astray, deceiving you, and it says, and they will be people who will bring every wind of doctrine to lead you astray. Now over here, when we just read in 2 Timothy, it talked about sound doctrine. This word for sound is the Greek word hagios. It means that which cleans you up. Cleans you up. It's a form of doctrine that cleans your lifestyle up. It cleans you up as a person. It puts good integrity and good character on the inside of you, so that you are a good example to those who are outside the church of God. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, I'm a pastor. Part of the fivefold. Pastor, teacher. God gave me some instruction here, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm kind of rebuking me a little bit. And then in the midst of the rebuke, he gives me a little promotion, which I got to keep to myself. But he instructed me to be careful about certain things, but also to watch over the flock in which God has given me. Now, I didn't really understand the fullness of what he was saying until I remembered back about our RMAI conference. And we had quite a few pastors there. And there was a couple, a pastor and his wife, that were very concerned and wanted to meet with me at the end of one of the sessions, and so I did. And they were concerned because their church had 50% of their membership going over to this other church that had this move of God in it, which was a Rhema church. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? They have a right to go where there's a good move of the Spirit. He says, but Pastor, I'm concerned about what's going on over there. And I said, well, what's going on? Well, weird things, and we were given a bunch of these little jewels. And they brought them back and said, look, these are appearing in the service. And I said, jewels? Yes. These little stones. And he said they were so small you couldn't even hardly see them with an eye. And it said these stones were appearing in this meeting, in this Rhema church, in this meeting. And there's blood and there's oil and there's these little jewels all appearing and everything. And I forgot, well, I heard this before, and I got to thinking, well, what's the purpose in this, you know? And so he went and had these little, whatever it was, he said they were so small, he figured if God was as big as he was, he would come up with little bigger stones here. But most of they went and had an analyze, and most of it you can get like in costume jewelry stores. It's what it is. Well, I was leaving Tulsa, and I had the opportunity to actually, because I know personally Willie George. He's a very good friend of mine. And so we happened to have seats together. And I said, Willie, what an honor I get to sit next to you. He says, what an honor I get to sit next to you, because we had Willie George at our church a lot back when you were on 84th. And he proceeded to tell me a story. And I says, what? Are you kidding me? Well, Oral Roberts had a big ministers conference, huge one, and he got to run the cameras for it. And so he says that this lady got up there who had a ministry of holy feathers. And he said, I'm going to have my camera on her. And all of a sudden, this woman insisted on everybody bowing their heads. Insisted on it. So everyone bowed their heads. Well, he didn't think he had to because he was running the cameras. And all of a sudden, she's starting to work her hands like this. She had this long sleeve something on it. And all of a sudden, these feathers started coming out. And they were sticking to her hand because she had these little oil capsules. And Willie is sitting there and he's seeing this with his eyes. And he can't believe it. And then she says, everybody pick your head. So everybody looks their heads up and she's throwing these feathers around. And they're sticking to her hand. She says, the anointing is so powerful and so strong. And Willie, he goes to the people that are in this conference. He starts telling them what he's got on camera and shows it to them. So you know what they do with her? Ouster. She ain't going to carry on anymore. As a matter of fact, some well-known, big-name people were sponsoring this woman, and they'd like to have crawled under the pews. Well, he went and had these little stones analyzed, and knew you can get those at the costume jewelry store. So where did they come from? So he's concerned. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. Don't you go back to your congregation and start in on them. You leave it alone. Let it come and let it go. Don't deal with it until you know that things are calm. Then deal with it later. Now, Willie George says, I was shocked. I mean, of course, Willie, all of a sudden, he's starting a church down the other part of town, and his church fills up overnight because he's the one that caught the deceiver, you know. Isn't that amazing? Well, anyway, I can remember when we had Ronald Coyne here. That was back years ago. And Ronald Coyne had no eyeball, and yet he could see out of his eye. We went him through the whole test. He'd been on TV and all that, and he could see. Because T.L. Osborne's sister prayed for him, and his eyeball opened up, and he could see because he lost one eye. Well, how many of you remember when you had Dave Roberson here? Dave had the gold and the silver teeth and even teeth restored. Not filled, but actually restored. Well, I thought that was strange, but then I began to see the testimony out of it. We had one lady that was taking care of our little toddlers and stuff, and she was telling me just a week before this seminar, she was telling me how she was distraught because she had 32 teeth that had to be removed. Well, that's pretty near all your teeth, as far as I'm concerned. And boy, you don't want dentures. And so she's in the... We have a move of God in our sanctuary, and people's getting their teeth filled. And we, matter of fact, we got up on the platform. We actually, and some of you were there when that happened, we actually shined a light in this one person, saw it fill up in little silver crosses. And so she's in this toddler's room, and she's starting to taste metal in her mouth and starting to feel funny in her gums. And she runs into the bathroom, and she's actually seeing brand new gold and silver, kind of a combination thing beginning to take place. And she went to the dentist, and all 32 teeth were completely healed, restored and filled and all that. And the fillings were out of the pure silver and gold. I don't know where it came from. That woman said, "I love the Lord. I love the Lord." And she was just turned on over the Lord. Then I got excited about that. I started praying for Dave, but I didn't get the same results that Dave did. But I'll never forget this one lady. She gave her testimony. She said she went to a place where they sell boats over on South Tacoma Way, and she had an appointment for a dentist to get some teeth filled. And I had prayed for her, and so guys are into their toys. He didn't want to take her to the dentist. He said, "You go to the dentist, I'll stay here," because he wanted to buy a boat, a fishing boat. Well, some of us can understand that when we're guys. You know, it's cool. So she goes to the dentist. She comes back and she's excited. The dentist went to fill her teeth and found that they were already been filled with beautiful, wonderful gold, and wanted to know who did the work. And she did too. But she runs back and tells her husband, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me. My teeth are all filled." And I got excited. It was like I tried praying for people before and nothing. Well, we went to Latvia. Matter of fact, Debbie was with us. Me and John Duclos, Debbie, and Dave. Dave Roberson. We went to Latvia. And I'm believing God for a greater anointing in the area of teeth. And so the last day I prayed for everybody. I didn't know the miracles that had taken place, but I didn't witness them because I wasn't there. I had left. But one guy had his teeth totally restored. There was numerous fillings and all that through the whole thing. But that's not a normal occurrence for my ministry. Any of you got cavities? We'll pray afterwards. But I got excited about that, but I knew that that's not a normal thing. But when I was seeking the Lord about it, it just seems like that's something that heals the body, and it brings glory back to God. But what about these jewels? You know, what does that do? What about these feathers? By the way, they analyzed a feather, and there were goose feathers from pillows. They found that she had capsules with this oil in her hand. She'd squeeze and pop them. There was a guy that was having blood coming out of his hands. And finally, they found out that he was producing that on his own. They were all false, lying things. Now, I want us to go over this to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to Colossians. Go to the book of Colossians. And I'm going to share something with you a little bit that I want you to get a hold of this. As soon as I get there, I'll tell you what chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Now, according to Scripture, by the way, I'm speaking as a pastor today over my congregation. According to Scripture, Ephesians was probably one of your most advanced, well-educated churches of its day. But they were susceptible to error because they had the uncanny ability to step out of their first love for the Lord. And so that was one of the corrections even the Lord gave him in Revelation. Said, "I have one thing against you. You've lost your first love." You know what? I don't care what you do for the Lord. If you don't have a love for Him, your first love for Him, anything that you do, He's not interested in as much as where your heart is connected to Him. He's more interested in that than anything you can do in ministry. I don't care what anybody says. Well, the Ephesian church were really acceptable to a zeal that they had for God. But when you have a lot of zeal for the Lord, and it's not according to knowledge, you're more susceptible to error. You're more open to error. Because you have a zeal, and you're looking for more, and you've got plenty already, and you're not even doing with what you got. And so you keep seeking for more, and you'll end up in these places where this kind of stuff is going on, and ain't going to go on in here. You want to know why? Because Jesus never produced diamonds. He never produced feathers. I mean, He didn't walk around the holy feather, man, after the Holy Ghost descended upon Him. He didn't walk around and show His hands with blood streaming on Him before He went to the cross. He didn't do all these things because what it does, it draws attention to men whom get the glory for it more than Christ does. What would be the purpose of me having blood dripping out of my hand? What about gold in my hair? What if I have a whole lot of gold appearing in my hair? I told one lady, I says, I wouldn't have that gold appearing in my hair. I'd rather have it in my mouth than in my hair. And she says, why? And I said, I think it's a demonic thing. So she was following one lady that had this gold in her hair, and it started appearing in her hair. She shook it in front of me. I said, I'd rebuke that. She rebuked it and never came back. Well, that couldn't have been a God. Why? You don't rebuke God and He disappear. Matter of fact, they gave me a DVD, and they had her speaking in a foreign country. And the message, I knew that her message was putting Christ first, but her essence of faith was not sound. Because if her faith remains there, she could die. She died. But when she started, she flaked all this gold out of her hair. She was the one that started it all. And at the end of the message, she shook it all out. And at the end of the message, she was loaded again. And she shook it all out again. Well, when I was sitting there listening to her, even though she had her message centered around Christ, my head was thinking, is there going to be gold in her hair now when she gets through? Didn't even pay attention to what she was saying. And sure enough, at the end, she shook all this gold back out of her head. I said, "That, you know, that's weird. It's just weird." Now, Colossians was the same as Ephesians. But you know what Colossians? They had a lot of zeal for God. But they also went and ran after every nutcracker that came down the pike. And Paul had to deal with them. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding." Now, my translation's got it in it, but actually it's abounding with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. Verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Now notice this. This verse is very loaded. Matter of fact, Rick Renner does a wonderful job on this verse in the book called Merchandising the Anointing. Matter of fact, I love that book so much that I complimented Rick one day in my office and said, "Book, out of all the books you have written, this one here has meant the most to me because it is loaded with such good, clear understanding of how to keep from being deceived." Rick looked at me and says, "I hate that book." And I said, "Rick, why do you hate that book?" "I wrote that book with the wrong spirit." I said, "No, you wrote the book with the right spirit. You just had the wrong attitude towards people. But that book is good." How many of you ever read Merchandising the Anointing? Thing is, an awesome book. And I says, well, I'm telling you, I like it so well. Every stroke of the brush was just a sheer place of genius as far as I'm concerned. He said, really? I said, please don't put it out of print. I was thinking about it. I said, don't do it. I says, God, I evidently had dealt with your heart already, but this book is awesome. He said, okay. Okay. Now, I don't know whether he took it out of print or not. But he had a whole lot to say about this verse. This verse is a very interesting verse. First of all, it says, beware lest any cheat you. Actually, in the Greek, it says, robbing you. Robbing you through philosophy and empty deceit. Now, this is a very interesting word, philosophy. This is two words put together. The word here means a love of wisdom. Lest anyone rob you through a love for wisdom. And empty deceit means hollow, no substance of deceit, delusions or hallucinations. Delusions or hallucination. This is the kind of word that you would use for a magician. Magician. And notice this, when he said philosophy, two words that literally, through this love for wisdom, it is robbing them of something. Robbing them of something. Did you know that most of the time when people pull con games like this, do you know what? It's to convince you you need more of something. And in this case, it would be God. Right? It would make you feel like you've got to press in and strive for more of God because you've seen these jewels, you've seen these feathers, you've seen this blood, you've seen this oil. All this stuff that's not even biblical. I don't find any place in the Bible where it says diamonds and jewels will appear. Especially costume stuff. Oh, and I don't find any place where feathers, holy feathers come down. It did not, the Bible does not say that the Holy Ghost is holy feathers. It said he likened unto a dove, one who brings peace. Not one who brings dove feathers. Willie George thought, man, I bet you those feathers are of a dove, but when they found that goose down feathers, what does a dove have, goose feathers? Or it's all a con game. They found it pulling it out of her sleeves and stuff. Now, notice this empty deceit, hollow deceit. You know, it says here, according to the basic principles of the cosmos, the system of this world. And the word basic principles is the wrong term to use there. It actually, in the Greek, is elements of the material universe. Elements of the material universe. It literally means that they would create a hunger for wisdom through physical means. Through physical means. Now, you know, this is very interesting. This word cheat you, actually rob you. What would he rob you of? Well, notice verse 9 and verse 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Actually, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Actually, all rule and authority. And you are complete in him. You know, this word for complete here is the Greek word pleroma. It means you can't add anything to it to complete it. You can't add anything to it to complete it. And here's why he said these people are trying to add a wisdom to you for more when you're already complete in him who is ahead of all rule and authority. You can't add anything to it. You don't need a bunch of jewels flipping out of your hands to prove anything. You don't need a bunch of goose down feathers to prove that you got the Holy Ghost. And so they were all in the upper room and there were tongues of fire over their head and goose down feathers coming out their mouth. showing that they had the Holy Ghost. Now, from verse 11 on down to about verse 15, it talks about, in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What is he talking about? You got born again and your inner man was literally separated from your outer man to have its own distinct identity. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Buried with Him by baptism, which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh when you were formerly one with your flesh, now you are a separated person from your flesh. He co-quickened you with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against it, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no one defraud you, your reward, taking delight in false humility and worshiping of angels. He said the spiritual perversion got so bad that there was the practice of worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he has. Now, my translation got not seen. It is, they have seen it, but it's in their own head. Vainly puffed up by fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head from which whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligament, grow with the increase which is from God. You know why he said it that way? He's waiting to tell you. You are complete in him. This is where you're at in Him. You've been seated in heavenly places. We operate now out of the new Jerusalem, not the one on this earth. Right. Are you following what I'm saying? God has no regard for the dead Jerusalem on this earth. He wants you to serve the new Jerusalem, which is above and not below. Amen. Hello? Yeah. And He says the first thing you've got to be careful of, you don't get into false doctrine, false philosophy, false teaching. Get into these rules and regulations of Judaism. Stay away from all that junk. Amen. Why? Because you are a part of a body. And these kind of things rent, tear people away from the body of Christ. Causes confusion. It causes repercussions that separate us, not bind us together. Are you guys getting something? And you know what? This kind of trash is going to keep going and going and going. Just like the Energizer Bunny. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all these people mean to me is a cartoon. Boom, boom, boom. They're beating their own drum at their own pace. They can come in the name of Christ all they want. But if it ain't here, goodbye. Now, co-quickened or co-raised with the Lord. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2. You guys there? Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. How does John know this? How does he know it's the spirit of Antichrist already came? Well, verse 19 tells us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. I've had many people say that they weren't never really saved. That's why your pastor of this church teaches contextually. Because I leave Scripture in their setting to mean what they mean in the setting before I take them out. I do expository sermons, but I believe in textual teaching, and here's why. You keep the subject and the theme intact. You can go to any church, and if the preacher is expository, there's where your error usually is found. Because he pulls scriptures out of settings that don't mean what he says they mean to bring an expository truth forward, and it's weird doctrine. You have to be skilled, you have to be careful in how you handle the Word of God so that you don't lead people astray. Have I ever done that? Absolutely. I've had people want me to replace their Bible. They wrote their notes in ink. And what I taught was junk. But you know, you grow. You grow. You do err, but you grow. Now, little children, we know it is the last hour. He literally is referring to the last time, which literally is talking dispensationally. And here's what he was saying. Little children, it is the last of this dispensation. I am the last living eyewitness of the person of Christ. That's what he was referring to. And he says there are going to be many people who come who are of Antichrist, that which is against the anointing, against Christ. That is the spirit that John the Beloved said would come after Jesus would be resurrected. He said that spirit would come. Why? Because the testimony of Christ was not here until the 12 disciples laid the foundational doctrines in Paul and all them, laid the Bible down in doctrine form. Are you following me? Now, the spirit of Antichrist works through this Bible to pervert it, to lead you astray. Why? So that you don't become complete in Him. That you already are, because you've inherited everything that the kingdom of God has to offer. You don't need jewels. You don't need feathers. You don't need to follow these people, because if you follow them, you'll find that they're nomadic. They never stay in one place very long. If you go into their background of their lives, you find it a horror affair. Well, if they are so close to God, why don't their own life begin to reflect what they are supposed to be in God? With this, quote, special anointing, I will never follow somebody because they have a bunch of jewels that fall out of their pocket. Right. Except it be a real diamonds, and I get to keep them when they come out of their pocket. Then I'll follow them. Just like Hansel and Gretel. Why are you following him? I don't have to pay attention to his doctrine, but I sure like the jewels. I keep this up, I'll become a millionaire before night. But it has nothing to do whatsoever with my closeness to my Lord. You know what I tell a Christian like that gets in that junk? If you would just do the Word, you'd get excited. Put the Word into your life. Put the Word into your life. Do you pay your bills on time? I mean, after all, you're floating around up there doing spiritual warfare. You come down and the devil's in your home tearing it to pieces. What's that all about? No, God puts doctrine in us that cleans us up. We're sound in nature. We're sound in speech. We progress. We succeed. We start holding good jobs. We start treating our children right. We become stable. We don't become floating around all the time looking for something. I'm looking for something. You know what? Well, I sure hate to be there in the face of Jesus. And Jesus says, finally you found me. Boredom will set in when you don't do the Word of God. Little children, it is the last hour. Now look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. That they went out, that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. He said they left us to show they no longer agreed with us. They wanted to bring confusion to the body. That's why people that are always trying to follow the Lord and part of the body of Christ, they don't care who they rub elbows with. They don't have no care for the one sitting next to them in the pew. All they got is their blinders on and they care about what? We're together as a team. We're supposed to float together in unity. That's why a lot of you say, why did they leave? Because they do something that even Jesus wouldn't do. What you ought to do is tell them, well, did the Lord leave with you? Because if the Lord left with you, I'll tell Pastor and we'll all go with you. I'll tell you what, if my life behind your back wasn't what it was, and I was out doing devious things and lying and cheating and stealing and messing and all that stuff, guess what? And many of you wouldn't remain as that has remained. Because I don't do them things. That's my wife. Why do you leave? Why do they leave? Well, you'll find that it's all self-centered. Every one of them. It's all for self. It's not for body. The more closer you get with God, guess what? The more you give out of yourself. That's why Sue and I felt like, gee, all of a sudden we become ministers and the sheetrock's gone. A house is a glass house. Yes, amen. It goes with the territory. Well, it's the same way with your life. Just because you're a part of the body doesn't mean that you can live a secretive life. You've got to be opened also and transparent for everybody. And some of these people are getting this weird doctrinal stuff, this junk. You follow their life and it's a nightmare. Because they're not following the Word of God that makes them sound in their faith. Now, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, this word for know here is the Greek word oida. It means you stand in a relationship with Him and you know what truth is. Now, why would He even bring that verse up? Because John, the Beloved, was telling them, you little Paideans, don't be confused by these other Christians. Because they're not following us. They're not following the sound doctrine that we laid in the church. They're following these other false teachers. He really gets into it in chapter 4. He says they got a different spirit about them. Now, some Christians read chapter 4 as if it means, now, it's really, these are really the unbelievers, the people that don't know God, never knowing Him. Well, thanks a lot, John. You're telling me that they're of the world. Gee, I needed that verse. I'd have never figured out that an unbeliever was of the world. Thank you for leaving me scripture that tells me. Listen, John's a lot sharper than that. And so is the devil. The devil comes as an angel of light. He doesn't come as a devil with horns. That's why believers who get into these kind of situations never connect with the local body. They never knit together with those whom they're connected with. That's why their families are not blessed. Their children are not blessed. Because they don't. Part of spiritual growth is connecting to a local assembly. It's part of your spiritual growth. That's what 1 John's all about. Look at verse 24. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. You will also abide in the Son and in the Father. What is it that we are to let abide in us so that we will remain with the Father and the Son? Well, He's not talking about unbelievers there. He's talking about believers who did not allow the inward anointing to remain strong in their heart. And the basic thing that you got from the Holy Spirit when you got born again is you have now got on the inside of you a witness of what is right from what is wrong. And this kind of stuff brings a witness to me that said, neat. You know, we ought to do what some of these people claim that they are. If they're that spiritual and they're doing these kind of things, we ought to take some Elmer's glue and put it on them, on their forehead, on their cheeks, and put feathers on them and diamonds, glitter it on there like costume jewelry, you know, and let them walk around and all of us ought to point our finger and say, super spiritual, super spiritual. Well,
Well, then why do believers cough up with this kind of stuff? They're looking for action, Jackson. You want to look for action? Go after the devil. He'll give you plenty. Now he says, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. You will abide in him. Now, what is he talking about? Well, I shouldn't be teaching you then if you took it on the surface there. But in the text, what he's saying is that you don't need to be taught by these people who are leading you astray when you've got the Holy Ghost in you. I said, Sherwood, so when you took these little stones, he said, well, they were so little. And when I took to have them analyzed, they said, it's just like costume jewelry. They didn't really know what type of material was made out of, but like plastic or something. I know that this person, whoever this person is in that church, he's spreading junk there in that church on purpose, deceitfully. Now, I got to deal with it because it's a Rhema pastor. I got to deal with it. Oh, well, I can deal with it. I'll take and send a packet of them jewels to Ken Jr. and say, analyze this for me. And then if you come up with this is real diamonds, then Moxnex, I'll deal with it myself. Well, how would I deal with it? Invite them in my church after already instructing you everything, and we'd all get rich by it. I'll share my wealth with you. We'll have the sucker drop all the diamonds he wants all over. We'll have a line and cut it all up and tell him not to come back. Maybe. It's ridiculous. You'll find that most of these people that foster this kind of doctrine, they're independent. They're nomadic, they're independent, and they don't foster well with their own family. Now that I've instructed my congregation, you better not hear it. Let me hear you got excited over this junk. Just keep it behind your pastor's back and lie to me. Otherwise, I'll give you a flat rebuke and tell you to sit in the front row for a while. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't much for too much today, except giving you a heads up. Be careful. Be careful of these kind of meetings. They get weird. They get strange. You get around them long enough, they can have you really going. It seems like God has good, honest ministers, but when they start feeling the effect, they go out beyond God. And I'm not interested in that. Amen. I'm more interested in seeing God's people progress in their own natural, healthy lifestyle. Character. The glory of God is character. The character of Christ developed in people. Stay away from these people. They're negative. They speak evil of dignitaries. People that are in authority and position. They have no regard for them. Because they themselves have no regard for any established authority, but only God. And yet they don't realize that they're the enemies of the cross. It's sad. We're here together, people, to learn the Word of God and to connect. Amen. Grab each other's hand next to you. Hallelujah. You guys got a hand? Both sides of you? Get a hand on both sides of you. Hallelujah. And let's say this together. You ready? Let's say this together. You ready? Yeah, the two loners there, yeah, make connection with them. That's it. Are you guys ready? Let's confess this together. Thank the Lord for you that I'm holding. I love you with the love of the Lord. My purpose as a believer, not only to come together in soundness of my mind, but soundness between us. In Jesus' name, I'm to be unified with you.
And that's how my fellowship with you
will be made complete. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Make connection. Make connection. Loners, those days are over. Loners are over. You're going to find, and if you guys haven't been here on Wednesday nights, you need to be here. I'm talking about qualifications to be a minister of the gospel. And one of them is connectedness with people. Without that, you ain't got nothing. I'm a people person. I'm such a people person, I run more off than I keep. But I'm a people person. Not really. Look at how many I've retained. I got all you. Amen. I haven't run you guys off. Why? You're tough. You did tough. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we... Huh?
Amen.
I know you do. I know you all love me. Even if you hate me, I really know you love me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, with our heads bowed in respect of you. Father, today maybe we had somebody come into our midst that is not saved, and we want to give them the opportunity to receive you, Jesus. We know that the only way into the kingdom of heaven is not by good works, not by good thoughts, but simply surrender our life that is a part of this world and grab a hold of the life that comes from above. You must be born again. And if you don't understand that, then you need to come forward to make that clear in your heart and mind of what it means to receive Jesus as your personal Savior above everything else. And if you're here as a believer and you've been out of fellowship with the Lord and you haven't been making connections, you haven't been making the effort to become unified even with the body that you're touching, then you can make that decision today to get back into fellowship with the Lord and with the body. Hallelujah. And last but surely not the least, if you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my, that is imperative that you have that heavenly language, because that is the language given to you to communicate directly on the level of heaven itself to grow spiritually by. It is a necessity. Hallelujah. God gave us that example and intended for all of us to partake of it. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can receive it. We have altar ministers right here, right now, that can deal with these three areas very clearly, because we have scriptural basis, a scriptural background to help you with. Please don't leave here without these areas dealt with. It is so vitally important to the kingdom of God. And so with every head bowed, in respect for those that are here, I want you to step out now and come forward if you will. Please don't hesitate. Please come forward and let us minister to you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have altar ministers to work with you. Don't hesitate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you have broken fellowship with the Lord. Please get back into fellowship with Him, because you are one who is in harm's way and Satan can take you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss. And if you didn't want to come up while people were here, then feel free to come up after I dismiss the service, and I'll have some of my altar ministers staying here, staying up front with me. And if you feel led to come up afterwards, feel free to do that. With that said, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great day.